This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So let me ask you this. Why are you listening to this podcast in particular? What do I have to say to you that's worth your attention? And how can I say it? Will I whisper it to you? Or scream into this microphone and then into your car or your headphones or that Bluetooth speaker you keep in the shower? Working in podcasting and trying to make good things, these are the questions I ask myself all the time. What am I saying? How am I saying it? And why should you, the listener, care at all? And that's what this show is about. I'm going to talk to people who had to answer these questions, people who make podcasts and had to find and then use their voices. Welcome to Inside Voices. I'm your host, Kevin T. Porter. Today, we're going to be hearing Nicole Byer's voice. Nicole Byer is wonderful. She is hilarious. She is an actress, an improviser, a comedian, and most recently, a podcast host. So let's start this show and this conversation with a new tradition. Each episode, I'm going to ask the guest to describe their own voice to me in their own words. And whatever they say, I'm going to make the title of the episode. Nicole Byer, how would you describe your voice?
I would describe my voice as real annoying and shrill and nasty and like, I don't get why anybody ever wants to listen to it. It's bad.
Is that true? You truly think you have a shrill, annoying voice?
I think I have a very, I do not like my voice.
Really? So you don't listen back?
I don't think I've ever listened to a podcast that I've done.
Whoa. But surely you've watched your stuff because you have to watch your stuff.
Yeah, but it's not like I do it with any sort of joy. I usually watch things alone. I'll never have like a viewing party for anything I'm in. That's insane. I think going to a premiere would cause me to have a conniption. I don't want to watch myself with other people. That's crazy.
I get that. I mean, do you think there's still like a gap between what you think you sound like? Like when you're talking to me right now versus what?
Yes.
Okay, so the gap still exists then.
Yeah, I think I sound one way, then I listen to it and I'm like, ugh. Well, yuck.
I think you have a terrific voice.
Thank you.
I think it's buoyant. I think it's bright. I think it's sing-songy. It sounds like you're a character in a musical that's about to break out into a
really?
Number. I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
You sound like a little fairy godmother.
Thank you.
Truly. So the episode title might be Nicole Byer has a shrill, annoying voice.
Yeah, great. That's fine.
That's what you want?
That's what I think.
I think it's more positive than that. If you've never had a positive association with your voice?
No, I've never like listened to my voice and been like, good voice. I mean, I enjoy the things that come out of my mouth. I think I'm funny. I don't like my voice. I wish it were different.
Oh, have you ever thought about like taking voice lessons or getting a vocal coach or anything like that?
I tried to take voice lessons and I had to turn my back on the woman as I sang because I was so embarrassed. It's like the only thing that's like truly embarrassing for me.
Yeah, because you're not embarrassed, but like you have, in a good way, no shame.
That's what people say, but I'm just like, I don't know. Almost everything I do is embarrassing. So like if I was going to get embarrassed by the weird things that I do, I'd be constantly embarrassed.
Yeah.
But singing is like, it's not subjective. I mean, singing is subjective, but like everyone can agree that like so-and-so is a bad singer for the most part. Or like we can all agree that so-and-so is a good singer. And I think it's just like the defiant thing scares me.
Yeah. And the fact that it is such a naked act and there is no pretense of, maybe this isn't your flavor, it's not for you or something like that.
Yeah, it's like, no, I can listen to like a jazz, I don't love jazz, but I can listen to jazz and go, this is good.
But some people, especially people in comedy, when they do broach into like, oh, maybe here's like a sincere song or something. It's like, yeah. it is a choice, right?
Yeah, it's not for me, so I don't sing.
Why did you want to take voice lessons when you did?
Because I look like I can sing. So I was like, people keep asking, so I might as well take a voice lesson, try to learn. And then she was like, there's a voice somewhere deep inside of you, and I don't know if I'm the one to get it out. And I was like, okay, that was like kind of hurtful.
How long ago was that?
2 years, 3 years ago. It was when I was in LA, so not recently, but recent enough.
I mean, you sing the theme song for your show and for your podcast, Why Won't You Date Me?
We did two takes, and Mars was like, you sure you don't want to do that again? And I said, no. Why won't you date me? Why won't you date me? Why won't you date me? Please tell me why. So it's pretty off key. It sounds pretty insane.
But I feel like it really encapsulates you to some degree, right? Where it's like, it is so doubled down and committed, and there is no sense of like hesitation or reticence at all. It's like, this is it. And it is this.
It's bad. And I love it. It makes me laugh really hard.
Well, if it's bad, I love it too.
Thank you.
Was it like this as a kid? What was your relationship with your voice when you were growing up?
I mean, I was constantly told to use my indoor voice because I was too loud. As always, it was always told, like, time and place. My mom would go TMP,
you were allowed,
which meant time and place to be loud.
Mm-hmm.
I was very loud.
Like in school, personally,
everywhere.
At home.
I just love talking. My mother used to say she was never worried about me. She would let me wander around in stores because she was like, nobody would ever kidnap you. They'd bring you right back. Which, like, maybe isn't the nicest thing to say to a child.
It's not what you want to hear.
True. I don't think anyone would keep me if they kidnapped me. I think they'd be like, oh my God, this kid.
Did you find people, like, even with your mom's jokes and stuff, were still charmed by you as a loud little girl?
Yeah, I also learned, like, tricks. Like, if we ever went to the McDonald's drive-thru, all I had to do was, like, lean over my mother and go, oh my God, you're so pretty. And then the people in the window would be like, oh my God, this kid said I was pretty. Here's an extra toy. So, yeah, I learned pretty early. If you give people compliments, they want to be nice to you. Yeah. People love a compliment.
And how to manipulate people and how to pull certain strings. Yeah, no, compliment, I guess, is a manipulation.
No. But, yeah, I mean, I was doing it to get what I wanted. I mean, the first time I did it, I was genuinely like, this woman is so pretty, she has to know. And then maybe the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth time, I was like, I want my fucking toy.
So, as all things do, it started from a pure intent and then it got calcified into something cynical over time.
Yeah. Yep. I think I still had a show on MTV or on Facebook Watch. I'm not sure. I was like still pretty busy, but I was like, John Gabris, who's a friend, was like, you should start a podcast. Like, you really should. And I was like, I don't know what. I should do a podcast about, and we like run into each other at the airport, and he was like pretty high. And I might have been high too, because I like to sometimes eat an edible before planes. And he was like, I don't know, dude, about like love and relationships or something, like interview people you've like fucked. And I was like, huh, okay. I don't even know if he said all that, but he was the one who put it in my brain to do something about love and relationships. So then I emailed HeadGum and they were like, let's do it. And it was a real treat, and it's been a dream ever since.
So in 2017, Nicole launched her podcast, Why Won't You Date Me? WWYDM, which is how we refer to it in our emails for brevity's sake, is a show about Nicole's love life. Every episode, Nicole talks to a guest about the wild world of dating online and offline in the 21st century, ending each episode with the titular question. It is so funny and horny and frank and sometimes confrontational and honest.
And I didn't really know how to host a podcast because I don't listen to podcasts.
Is that true to this day?
Yeah, I can't.
Not a fan.
I don't like listening to other people's conversations where I can't interject my thoughts. I mean, I could, but like I'm alone in my car. No one's going to hear it. I guess expectations would be that it was harder than it actually was because it is just a conversation. But then I did, like, I used to have people look at my Tinder profile more often. And then a couple of the comments were like, this is redundant. If you're not going to change it, don't have people read it. And I was like, I mean, this isn't wrong. So I don't really have people do that anymore. I mean, there is only so much you can talk about love and relationships before it becomes redundant. Like, I did an episode with Whitney Cummings where we talked a lot about comedy. And a comment on my Instagram was like, there wasn't enough talk about love and relationships. And I was like, I know, but like some people don't want to share their current situation. Some people don't want to share their past situation. And like, I still want to interview you. I still want to talk to you. And I don't want to hold that against you. So like, we just won't talk about it. And I'm okay with it. And I guess maybe I should put up a warning. That's like, this one doesn't have much about love. I don't know. I don't know how to please everybody.
I think you're fine. And I think it's just going to be the lesson we all have to learn over and over again of like, literally not 100% of the people will be happy. You get most of them, you get some of them, yeah. But it's never going to like be the whole swath, right?
I do try to please people. But also, I don't. It's a weird thing.
It's an interesting thing, though, that you describe, you know, hosting Why Won't You Date Me, as well as your other shows, like Best Friends.
Yes, I have Best Friends. I have 90 Day Bay. Mm-hmm. And then occasionally I'm on Drag Her, but I did get a little too busy to do all four.
It would be like someone who makes pizzas, hates pizza, and can't eat it. But like the head chef at your favorite pizza restaurant is like, yeah, pizza sucks. That said, have some pizza.
That is absolutely right. I like doing them. I just can't fathom listening to one.
Right. I want to play a clip from your first episode.
Oh, okay.
Are you okay listening to your voice? Is this all right? We got to do it.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the form of your show, it seems like I don't really have an option.
You could tap out if you wanted to.
No,
I'm here to serve you.
I'll do it.
Thank you. Thank you for the favor. Mm-hmm. This is when you had Will Hines on as a guest.
Hell yeah, dude.
This was your first guest, first episode.
Yes.
And this was like the truest crystallization of the concept as was stated in this conversation.
Cool.
So how come you didn't date me?
Well, boy, what an incredibly awkward question to be asked while being recorded. I mean, you've never asked me this in real life.
Nope, but I figured you can't run away.
No,
you can't
I love it. No, yeah.
I mean, you could.
I guess I could lie to you, but the world will know. At the time, I was like a wreck. Like, that relationship was a big one, and I was like, I'd ended it, but I felt guilty about it, and I didn't really know what I was doing. And I went in, like, I would say for the next year, I was like a mess. I would date people and then break up with them and then beg them back and then like not talk to anybody and then try not to drink and then drink too much. That particular moment, like, I wasn't going to date anybody.
So that was the truest sense of why won't you date me?
Yeah.
This happened. And then what happened after that?
I don't think I told him the concept of the show. But I think when I texted him to do it, I was like, would it be okay if we talked about our kiss? Mm-hmm. And I think he was like, yes, that's fine. I really hope I didn't just blindside him. I think everybody else I told.
Well, because in the beginning, and when you started the show, it was a good amount of people that you did already have some measure or level of experience
with. I ran through them. And then it's been hard to get people to agree to do it.
People you've had experience with, you mean?
Yeah, the last two people, they were like, no, thank you.
It's such an aggressive and difficult ask that then when people do say yes to it, the dividends and like the results that it yields are pretty incredible. Because it's so inoften that you don't hear like just talking about a relationship or talking about love or this decision or why'd you do that or this. It's like you're performing it in real time, like truly what the relationship is or that conversation. Confrontational in a way that I think is like pretty rare and pretty interesting for as much as you yourself don't listen to shows or podcasts, it is truly special for what it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
So obviously when a person talks about a specific topic every week, especially publicly and especially when it is vulnerable and personal, it changes how they feel about it. In the worst case scenarios, it can rob them of a certain amount of joy or excitement for it. But thankfully, in Nicole's case, speaking to an audience about her love life in an extremely candid way had a mostly positive effect.
I think 100 episodes in, I'm just more secure with myself, which is different than loving yourself. You can love yourself and then have lots of doubts and be like worried about things happening. I think it's affected me in a way where it's nice because I am also in therapy, but then I do talk about love and relationships like ad nauseum. But I think it just makes me feel a little bit more secure that like one day it will happen and it's going to be good. And also being in therapy, my therapist is like, celebrate the little things too. If you're with someone for a week, that's nice. Mm-hmm. If you like hook up with someone and it's good and it was a day, that's nice. But yeah, I think I'm just like a more stable person. Also, I've gotten older. I don't think I matured as fast as maybe some other women do. I've also like learned how to speak to people a little bit better.
Well, and it seems like too, it started with people you had like, not only were you friends with or had some connection with, but like had the most familiarity or the most intimacy with. And now you've had to like branch off into people that you haven't had on the show before and you've never met before in real life. And so that—
And it's been interesting and curious and I like it. I like talking to different people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And people keep being like, well, if you get into a relationship, are you going to end the show? I'm like, well, no. Because the question would be like, why won't you date me? Well, because you're in a relationship. And I think it'll just bring a different aspect to the show. And I think it'll be interesting. Although I don't think I talk about my relationship in the beginning. Because you got to keep some things to yourself.
There are— in that, that's what I was going to ask too. Because the promise of the show is like in your face or aggressive vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of like how you talk to people and how you talk about yourself. But it sounds like, too, and even other conversations that maybe we just had off mic or on mic on another show, that there are limits to self-disclosure and there are limits to what you would share.
Yeah, like I've had relationships with people that I haven't talked about on the show at all, and I probably never will.
But it feels like a kind of tough high wire act to be constantly commodifying that quality that does exist in you of like, here's me, this is who I am, and kind of like that nakedness of revealing yourself, even though it is like sort of an illusion and sort of like a narrative at play. But then that probably must change how people engage with you and like either talk to you after shows or what they say to you when you're performing stand-up, because they might feel a little more entitled to you than they actually are.
Yeah, I do think people speak to me with like a familiarity that is sometimes off-putting. But, you know, sometimes people get a little too drunk at a show and it's fine. I like it. I like doing it. Sometimes I come up with material from episodes. Mm-hmm. I'll like say a sentence or something and then that sentence becomes like a 10-minute joke. I think podcasting is like very interesting. I think it's so interesting that people want to listen to me. It's weird.
Yeah. Does that feel hard to accept?
Yes and no. Because like when I do my stand-up, I'm like, so wild that people want to like watch me for an hour. But then I'm like, well, I have an hour of material that I'm really proud of.
Yeah.
So it's like it's weird.
But I feel like it's always hard to accept that sort of value. That's not just like, we're all valuable because we're all human, blah, 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 whatever. But literally like, oh, here's the actual dollar amount. Or here's like the minutes of time that someone's invested who listened to every episode of your show.
It's nice. It's really nice when people like you, because a lot of people don't like you.
Is there a workaholism that you feel identified with?
It's not a workaholism. It's just like, if I'm not going to do it, someone else will.
Oh, that's an interesting idea of like filling the space of someone who maybe isn't as talented.
No. I mean, like, if you want to be an actor and you're not taking the necessary steps to be an actor, someone else will do that. And someone else will be like successful because you didn't do it.
Yeah.
Why not just do it?
So
that makes sense.
Yeah. Taking every available opportunity. That makes sense.
Why not? Not that I like want to oversaturate myself, but if we can get 4 hours of my content every week where it's all different, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And I know I do repeat myself. So like, I don't think it's like I'm just creating like hours and hours and hours of original content every week. But like, it helps me with my stand up. It just helps me. So like, why wouldn't I do it?
So it doesn't just exist to exist as much as it does, but it's also like a different kind of function too. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more Inside Voices.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com /Wondery.
Welcome back to Inside Voices. So the word exposure is a term that gets way overused and often abused in the creative world in lieu of equitable compensation. Often those in power who refuse to pay people for their work offer instead the amorphous proposition of exposure. We can't give you money, but a lot of people will see the thing you're doing, and maybe one of them can pay you one day. And most of the time, it's absolute horse hockey, pardon the language. But in podcasting, sometimes, not every time, but sometimes, it's true. Sometimes it actually works, and those people that consistently invite you into the intimate context of their private listening time are compelled to then go out and buy a ticket and pay to see you perform live. That's been the case for Nicole, and if Why Won't You Date Me represents one part of her appeal, then Nailed It, a family-friendly amateur bake-off show on Netflix that she hosts, represents the polar opposite end.
I liked that the podcast had brought more people to like my stand-up shows and stuff. It was like a new way to reach people who maybe hadn't heard of me or wouldn't even think of me. And then the Nailed audience is a lot of parents to children who like me and then like to stun on their kids. They're like, I'm going to go see her live, which is like very cool. And I love it. And I say I don't like kids. I just don't know what to say to them. My content truly isn't for them. Like, that show is edited down from 10 hours of footage. So, like, it's the two separate things.
Yeah, and it sounds like you might even have some form of Bob Sagittitis in a way.
I do say that on stage that I'm this generation's Bob Saget.
Really? Oh, yeah. Wow. Interesting. Yeah, because obviously, such a dirty man.
Yeah.
On such a family-friendly, clean little show.
Danny Tanner is a nasty little stand-up at night.
But that's kind of sweet, too, that there are like multiple avenues through which people can experience parts of you and yourself. And that probably helps, honestly, with just like feeling like, oh, yeah, maybe I am an interesting person. If it's not like I can make this kind of table with this kind of legs, but it's like I can also make this kind of chair or I can make this kind of couch.
Yeah.
And it didn't always used to be like this for you and for your career.
No, everyone starts somewhere. So I was running around doing free improv shows all around New York City, sometimes like two shows a night, and you just be like bouncing around. And then I had day jobs. So like I was nannying. I worked in the office of UCB, the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. I was a waitress for a little bit. I was a hostess for another time. I worked in a clothing store. Yeah, so it's like I was just doing a lot of shit. I've always been doing a lot of shit and juggling a lot of different things.
And there's probably memories of that that could come back pretty easily when you think about the proposition of maybe not doing everything that you're doing and maybe not hosting five shows and not doing these dates and not touring and not getting out there, where it's like it was very easily a different kind of life that you were living.
It was such a different life, but like still a tiresome life. Like I was still tired because I would wake up at like 10:30 in the morning, go to my babysitting job, try to nap when the kid napped, and then like work my secretary job in the evening and then like have two shows and then wake up and do the whole thing again. And then, yeah, like going from like one job to the next job and then like still being like, I live in poverty. My rent's only $500 a month, but like I'm finding it hard to scrape together $500 to pay that rent because I like to drink and those cost money.
I think a big reason a lot of creative people gravitate towards making podcasts is because of the purity of it. Because of the control that's possible, it can be as undiluted an extension of yourself as you want it to be. Because for a certain type of person, whatever your format is, becomes a mere pretense. And over time, you become the format.
The tone bounces, the topics bounce. I do try to keep it to relationships, but sometimes we get on like fun tangents and just see where the wind blows you.
Yeah, but it's nice that it feels comfy enough that it can be literally whatever you want it to be at this point. I feel like I've done shows in the past where it's like, okay, here's the premise. Mm-hmm. If you don't stick to the premise, people are going to hate you. Mm-hmm. And it is always such a nice testament to like how much people do like you and how much people do enjoy actually you. Not just like, I like to hear about relationships and Nicole Byer's good at talking about them, where it does maybe, or maybe it has shifted to, I like Nicole Byer a lot. I'll listen to her talk about relationships and whatever.
It is nice when people like you.
I want to play another clip from the show.
Okay.
We got more clips, baby.
Clips.
This is from an episode with Skylar Hurt.
Okay. Here's a question. I already know you would date me. But why do you think I'm still single?
Oh, Nicole.
You can't hurt my feelings.
That must be a lie.
What, that you can't hurt my feelings?
Yes.
You can't.
I mean, certainly you must know.
I don't fit. Well, I mean, I have like ideas.
Like, why didn't we work out?
I don't think we worked out because I don't think we were fundamentally compatible. You like wouldn't even kiss me because you were like, you taste like an ashtray, which is not true. Mm. Have you ever licked an ashtray?
You can figure out what something tastes like by the way it smells.
You don't know what that tastes like.
Okay. Okay. So your like lack of communication had nothing to do with it.
Sure. Yes. Again, I do think texting is like, I think it's false. And I think if you have good texting and then it's not good in person, then like that's also confusing. So like if it's bad texting and it's better in person, I think that's better.
Well, I think we had good texting and good in-person stuff. I think it was mostly just like logistics that we got hung up on where it was like making plans and then you would forget that we made the plans and then you would bail at the last minute. It was a lot of being very disrespectful of my time.
Okay.
And being very inconsiderate.
Okay.
And putting yourself first.
Okay.
And that's why we stopped dating.
All right. Fair. I stand by it. Fair. I think that's everyone who's ever dated me's
You think they'd
issue.
Say a version of that?
Yeah, that like I cancel plans. I forget that I've made plans. I forgot I was recording this podcast. I forget. I write things down. I have a paper planner. I have a phone planner. I do a lot of shit. And a lot of times I do cancel plans and it's not great. And I've had conversations, like my old roommate and I had a conversation where she was like, if we make a plan and you bail at the last second and I'm at a theater by myself because you forgot that we were seeing a movie, that's shitty to me. Like, I know that you have a lot going on, but like, do not make plans with me unless you know that you can actually show up and keep the plan. Mm-hmm. And then from like that day on with her, I was like, okay, like I have to, it really bugs her. She's one of my best dear friends. I love her dearly. I don't want her to feel like I'm being disrespectful to her time. But then I feel like in a relationship, especially if you know who I am and you know everything I do, I guess I felt like I should be cut a little leniency on things. But then I guess it's like, well, if I expect you to show up on time and like hold yourself to like when you say you can hang out, I feel like I'd be like, oh, why are you bailing on me? You're not as busy as me. If I can show up, you can show up. But then it's just like, well, if you are busy, you should make an effort to like remember when you're going to hang out with somebody.
Yeah. But that is like such an extraordinary thing to make naked on a pod. I mean, I don't know if it feels that way to you, but that's like mind-blowing to have a conversation public.
Mm-hmm.
That is like so many people's private conversations and obviously a conversation you've had privately a few times in your life too. But I mean, does that feel okay having that out and like people know about that and can hear that and can hear like some of the tension between you and Skylar on an episode like that?
I mean, I don't mind. I don't think I come off super great, but also I don't think she comes off super great. I truly just think we were not fundamentally compatible. And I was just like, I don't know why you can't say that. Like, just say that. Like, we were not compatible. The lack of communication was like the tip of the iceberg. You know, I didn't bring up everything that bothered me about her because I don't think she asked.
Yeah.
Also, she's not here to defend herself.
No, of course. So. No. And it's not about relitigating it that. But just I think the fact that you are fine with this does speak to the added security that you're talking about in doing a show like this.
Well, I mean, I'm not the only person who's bad at communication. I'm not the only person who flakes on people. She's not the only person in the world to feel like her time has been disrespected. So, like, I think if you listen to that and you go, oh, my God, that's my issue with this person. They disrespect my time. I recognize it. This is what they did to me. You can then have a conversation with that person and be like, this thing you do upsets me. And then maybe I've helped one person learn how to speak to somebody. Not that I'm like here for teachable moments, but like.
But you might be, honestly.
If listening to me go through things like that publicly is like good and helpful, then like, I don't know. Okay, cool.
Yeah. But it does feel like, especially when you do encounter such positive feedback from your audience and you do encounter such like people's anecdotal experience of like, oh yeah, maybe someone, maybe it's that mm-hmm. episode, maybe it was another episode. Like, oh, hearing that kind of conversation or hearing this specific topic did help me understand this subject mm-hmm. in a way that like helped me in my confidence or my sexuality or in my dating life. That's to feel pretty good, right? That you, even though you're just like doing bits and being silly and having people over, like it's got to feel pretty good that you do facilitate that even passively.
I don't think about it.
You don't think about it ever?
No, not really.
So how do you receive that when people talk to you about that?
It feels weird. And then I try to like change the subject. Like, I've had a lot of women be like, you've helped me wear sleeveless shirts in the summer. I hated my fat arms. And then they like go into a monologue about it. And it's nice that it's like, oh, it's nice that like I've helped you with something. But like, yeah, it's hard to internalize like, oh, I've made this person's life better. But like, maybe there's some aspects of my life that I can't figure out. So it just, when you're like alone in a hotel room after a show, you have a lot of time to think.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of time to like go over things that people have said to you and things that are going on in your life that like aren't going well. And then you're like, I just made so many people happy. And I'm like sitting here stewing on like why I'm not happy right now. Yeah, it's like a, it's a weird thing. That's why I don't think about it.
So the cognitive dissonance is like too much better. Like if someone says you did this or like you provided, even if it's not like you changed my life and I'm brave now, but yeah. like just like you made me laugh a lot when I was having a bad day or something. It feels dissonant.
That's fine. It's when they get into the specifics, like I have cancer and I watched you and I had radiology and I'm like, okay, I don't, that's,
you don't want
that's
it.
Too fucking heavy.
Yeah.
That's too fucking heavy. I'm glad I got you through it, but that's so fucking heavy to put on somebody.
Yeah.
I think.
Because you think then that requires like a response to you like, okay, well, let me give you a hug for 10
minutes.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what you want from me when you say shit like that.
Yeah.
Like you just say, thank you. You've made me laugh so hard. Great. Thank you. That's, I'm glad. That's what I want.
I think it's hard to be a good receiver of stuff like that too, in a way where it's like, you don't feel weird. You don't make the other person feel weird yeah. or uncomfortable. It's hard to like navigate that space of not giving, like when you get an email that's like five paragraphs long, mm-hmm. not just like, thanks, TTYL or whatever, but like—
Who still says TTYL?
Well, clearly I do, and I've told on myself.
You need to get them out of your life.
Sorry,
get
Nicole.
Yourself out of your life.
I will shortly thereafter this podcast. I want to play a clip of, it's actually a montage of clips.
Okay.
Of the central question of your show.
Would you date me?
Yeah, I would date
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
You're dope as fuck. Are you kidding me?
Would you ever date me?
Yes. Are you kidding me?
No!
Yes. Yes, it'd be so fun.
Oh, would you date me?
Yeah. I would.
Yay.
I don't get why other people wouldn't.
Me either.
Would you date me?
Yeah.
Here's a question.
Yep.
Would you date me?
I've thought about this for so long as a fan of this podcast. I don't think I would.
Oh,
I've only come here to give you bad news, it sounds like.
Would right. you date me?
I don't think I would.
Okay.
What do you hear when you listen to that? All those different answers.
It's so funny because all the yeses, I scream. I didn't realize I did that for every single one. And then the noes, I'm just like, it's a laugh or a, okay.
Or like what I heard in even clips that didn't make this is just like a slow deflation. I'm like,
oh.
Just
okay.
like a little wilt
right.
away from the central issue.
It is a funny thing to ask people like to their face.
Yeah. It's like inappropriate
yeah.
on some level. Uh-huh. Like it's a basically inappropriate question. Mm-hmm. Like, why are we not in a relationship together?
Why don't you love me?
But it's so funny that your podcast has like created a space in which that is an expectation.
Mm-hmm. You have to answer a question.
You will be confronted with. And that's actually one of the things I do love about podcasts is you have conversations that in other contexts would be, you'd be out of your mind to have.
Uh-huh.
Like if I saw you at a party, I'm like, oh yeah, hey, we're on the same network and you know, I do this show and like, I really like your show. And I talk to you like this,
mm-hmm.
you would hate me, right?
Yeah, I'd be like, who's this lunatic?
But now just because it's like, there's microphones and there is a scheduled
yeah, it's
time
great.
And headphones.
Ask me anything you want. There's a microphone with headphones. You got a laptop? Seems official.
Do you feel like you've become like a better conversationalist having done the show?
No, I think it's not easy to talk to everybody, but like I do find myself more in conversations with real people in real life being like, ugh, I got to stop this.
stop the conversation.
I can't talk to this person anymore.
You see red flags.
Are
you
fucking figure this out? I gotta leave.
You probably have a threshold of exhaustion that's a little bit lower than it used to be.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I talk to so many people. I'm like, I could be having a very interesting conversation that's being recorded and monetized.
Gavers talks about that a lot. He says now he doesn't want to hang out with anybody unless he can
monetize it. Yeah, what if you're funny and there's no microphone?
Is that a nightmare? That's a nightmare question, though. That's dystopian.
What? If you that, get, you don't want to hang out with people because you can't monetize it?
I mean, maybe it doesn't sound insane to people living in this city, but maybe
it,
to...
It is crazy. I only talk to my friends if I can make money.
Do you feel like you've been able to make different friendships from doing the show?
Yeah, sometimes you meet somebody and you're like, oh, wow, we get along really great. We should hang out more often. And then you try to do that. But LA is a very hard town to hang out with people.
It's hard. You're a lady in demand, too. You're very busy.
Yeah, and I'll flake on you for a job.
I always feel like, especially if it goes well, and sometimes you get the vibes, even if it goes well, like, no thanks. But I always feel like I want to be friends with people after having them on one of my shows mm-hmm. or, like, talking to them. Because it always just feels like friendship steroids, where it's like, we're kind of yeah. taking a road trip and the radio's broken, so we have to talk to each other the whole time.
Yes. Because it's usually when you speak to someone, it's like at a party and it's for like minutes at a time. A podcast is like, oh, I'm going to speak to you for a solid hour. I can make a full-blown choice as to when I want, like whether I want to continue this friendship or never talk to you again.
And do they follow up usually with you or do you follow up with them?
It depends. I mean, for the most part, I've only really had a lot of like friends on. Like my two friends were visiting LA, my two best friends from high school, Nick and John, and we were doing something, and then there was a day that we had nothing planned, and I was like, oh, you guys are going to record an episode of my podcast? And they were like, we've never done a podcast. And I was like, yep, because they're not actors or anything. They're not in entertainment. But I brought them here and made them record an episode with me. Because I'm a lunatic, and I'm monetizing friendships.
No, but I mean, like, it exists for even people who are, like, professional radio, NPR, such and such, whatever. I mean, they mm-hmm. have to look at all sorts of different parts of, like, the lunatic thing I do is I feel like all knowledge that I process, I do put through the filter of, can I talk about this later? Like, make an interesting point? Is this like a nugget that I can like put on someone? Uh-huh. Or like, and I'm sure there's things I've even said in this conversation where it's like, yeah, I read that in a book. And I was like, okay, I'm going to put that away for later. And it has like fundamentally changed the way I think just about information. Mm-hmm. Where it is just like, instead of just like, oh, maybe I'll just build myself up and read a nice book. It's like, oh, it's gristle for this mill. This unending mill.
Gristle.
Of content.
Gristle.
Yes. Well, Nicole.
Yeah?
I just wanted to say, thanks for talking with me.
Thanks for having me.
I really like your voice.
Thank you.
I do not think you are shrill.
Okay.
I do not think you're annoying.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Nicole Byer has a shrill voice. You can listen to Nicole's podcast, Why Won't You Date Me?, Best Friends, and 90 Day Bay, wherever you get podcasts. Except for 90 Day Bay. That one's exclusive to Patreon. Just Google it. You'll find it. Inside Voices is produced by Steve Allman, and our theme music is by Pam Autori. Next week on the show, you will hear this voice.
We wanted to have a show that leaned into our expertise, but like we don't really have an expertise. So we're like, okay, why don't we just give advice? That way, at the very least, we can't be wrong because it's our opinion. It's called If I Were You. You can't tell me that I'm wrong, what I would do in your position, because it's me.
I've been your host, Kevin T. Porter. Thanks for spending time with us today on Inside Voices.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.